Studio 360.
Instrumental music that you hear in orchestral halls usually isn't about anything, which is one reason that classical music can be such a relief from politics and news and all the noise of daily life. But a piece by the composer Julia Wolf definitely has a subject. It's called Anthracite Fields, and it's about coal mining and the people and communities around it. Wolf is one of the founders of Bang on a Can, this music collective that has been at the forefront of contemporary classical music for almost three decades. I talked with her right after Anthracite Fields won the Pulitzer Prize for music last year. So good week.
Crazy 24 hours, actually. No, very, very exciting.
This piece for which you won, it is not just inspired by coal miners circa 1900. It is really, in many senses, because of all this text, about them.
I just began with being curious about the region, going up into that area, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Lansford, that whole coal mining anthracite region, and interviewing people, going to the incredible little museums. One museum in particular, the Anthracite Heritage Museum in Scranton, just depicts the entire life, everything from the tools they use to medical issues to labor laws. It's fascinating.
So after a year of research and going into mines, I read, you must have had just a ton of material from which to choose your text.
Yeah, it's vast. And going into it, I just thought, how am I going to cover this? This is just, it's enormous. But what was interesting was that themes emerged and things that just grabbed me and thought, oh, that's the piece. That has to be in the piece. For example, the opening movement is a list of names of miners who were injured.
Real men.
Real men. They're real men. The list is very, very long. I actually went through the list and pulled out very common first names. And then I thought, oh, that's even too many. So I just picked the Johns with one-syllable last names.
Adapting reality to your musical needs.
Yes. And also, I wanted it to be a kind of, especially in the beginning, a kind of chant. Uh-huh. And so when you're saying John Ayers, John Ash, John Bain, John Bates.
You were born in Philadelphia and then grew up not too far from coal country in Pennsylvania. So has Anthracite Fields been sort of percolating there since you were a kid in the 60s and 70s?
Subconsciously, maybe.
Yeah.
Certainly not consciously. In fact, probably my very earliest creative work was with words, and I was very consciously moved away from that. I did not use text for many, many years. I really felt like I had to delve into sound and timbre and instrumentation, and thought, oh, the thing I love about music is it's beyond words. It's
yes.
You're saying something
right.
That's very, very
nothing
very,
I can do.
Very deep and mysterious in a way. But somehow the words crept back in big time.
I'll say they did. The piece is about an hour long, and it's full of words. There are five movements, and I want to play a bit from the fourth one called Flowers. So flowers in the middle of a piece about mining coal and the hard life of that?
What are they doing in there?
Yeah.
Primarily it's in there because one of the women I interviewed, Barb, was a daughter and granddaughter of miners, grew up in a patch town. And she had this great spirit about her and very positive about her upbringing. Because that's interesting because you're walking into this community thinking it's going to be dark, dark, dark. Trouble, difficulty. But Barb had an incredible community, this kind of extended generational family life, grandparents living right nearby and cooking special foods. These are the kinds of things she talked about. And one thing she said was we lived in very simple houses, sort of impoverished existence, but we all had flowers and we had gardens. And she started to name these flowers. And I started scratching it down, and it was such a beautiful moment because this is the way the women particularly and the families found a way to beautify this existence. And I felt like the piece needed some flowers after you're writing about men deep down in the wells.
Did you ever think as you were decided on this subject that, whenever anybody talks about coal these days, it's about, the CO2, greenhouse gases, climate change, which is not your subject in any direct way at all. Did you ever think like, I'm taking this big current subject but not addressing it in any of the current ways?
I thought about that a lot. And it was interesting because, first of all, my friends who were some of whom are professional environmentalists would talk to me about it. And it's in there, actually. I don't want to hammer people over the head. Of course, this is a very important issue. And I guess the crux of the piece is what was this industry that fueled the nation?
Right.
But I wanted to tie it to today. And so the very last movement actually is called Appliances.
About how our electricity is still significantly coal.
As far as I know, almost 50% coal-powered. So the last movement is just I just made this list of all the things you do every day that use coal, essentially. Bake a cake, drill a hole, call your girlfriend on the phone, send a message.
Right.
It's nonstop energy. And it gives the listener, I think, a chance to think, how am I a part of this?
Right. Julie Wolf, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.